Thanks. Okay, good evening, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 26th, the very end of Yom HaTzmaut. So Yom HaTzmaut Sameach for the last, well, it's really over, so post Yom HaTzmaut Sameach. Today we are continuing our Parshat Shavua class, and we are discussing the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, the mitzvah of loving your fellow, a fellow Jew. And we're going to see that this mitzvah is not as straightforward as it seems. Lots of interesting questions about how to fulfill this mitzvah, we're gonna look at that now. Our main text is going to be the Sefer Achinuch. We have studied parts of the Sefer Achinuch before. The Sefer Achinuch, we don't know who the author is, and I like to tell people that in the introduction to the Sefer Achinuch, the author writes that he's writing the book because he noticed that his son was sort of wasting his time on Shabbat afternoon, playing with his friends instead of doing something more productive. And so he decided to write him an entire book. I'd like to share that with people to make us as parents feel inadequate. So for those of you who have not inspired your family, and you have a high bar to something to aspire to. But the Sefer Achinuch title is taken. So if you write a book, you need a different title. And the book goes through the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, according to the author. And there are essentially three parts. There's a brief explanation of the mitzvah. Then there's something called the Shoresh HaMitzvah, which is the way that the author introduces what he thinks is the reason for the mitzvah. And then he lists some of the laws of the mitzvah and then tells you if you want to look at the rest of them, here's where you can look. Actually, it's four parts. And the fourth part is he tells you who the mitzvah applies to, because some mitzvah only apply to men, some to women, some to Kohanim, some to Levim, some to people in Israel, etc. That's what he does. That's going to be our main text. Okay, and you have it in front of you, and those of you who are on screen have it on the screen. Mitzvat Ahavat Yisrael, right? The mitzvah of loving Israel, loving a Jew. Now, it's interesting to note that there are some who say that this pasuk, this verse in the Torah, this mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, is not a particularistic mitzvah, meaning it doesn't only apply to Jews. The mitzvah of loving people applies to everyone. But we'll see here, and that's, like I said, some people see that. See the mitzvah that way, but we'll see that our author views this as being specifically related to fellow Jews, and the way they get there is when it says V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha, love your fellow. The Gemara says Re'acha b'mitzvot, someone who is like you, who is your fellow in the obligation to perform mitzvot. So that will be referring to a Jewish person. But again, not everyone understands it that way, but that's for the sake of the discussion, that's how we're going to look at it. Okay, so just if you have any questions, that's great. I'm just letting people in the chat know that they could just comment as they wish, and then we're going to continue. Okay, so let's get started. So he says, "Le'ehov kol echad miYisrael ahavat nefesh." The mitzvah is to love each one of Israel, meaning every Jewish person, ahavat nefesh, the love of the soul. Now we'll see what that means. Kilomar shenachmol al Yisrael va'al mamano kmo she'adam chomel al atzmo u'mamono. That a person should be as concerned about the money, the property, the financial well-being of others just as much as they are concerned or the word we have here is compassionate, care about their own financial success, their own financial well-being. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoch. You should love your neighbor as yourself. So then let's stop here for a second and just try to unpack exactly what's going on. What does the author not say we're obligated to do? I think that's really important. And it may be something we would expect him to say we are obligated to do just from the formulation of the verse, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoch, which is translated as love your neighbor as yourself. But how does the author formulate the mitzvah?
You don't have to know everything about their situation.
Okay, true, right? I want to go earlier than that, in the sense that we should note that the author, for this perspective, it's not about feelings. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like this person.
Yeah.
I don't even have to think they're particularly a good person. This is an action myth. Now, which all mitzvot are, most mitzvot are, but it's a little bit tricky. It's tricky because it says love your neighbor as yourself. But how he defines it is, we should be chomel al atzmo, we should be nachmol al Yisrael v'al mamano kmo shadam chomel al atzmo. We should have just as much concern and take care of their financial well-being as we would do our own, right? So that's
your land and our land,
right? I mean,
I don't have to like you, but
right. And the reason why I bring this up is because if we scroll down, or if you have the sheet in front of you and you look at the Ramban, Nachmanides' comment on this mitzvah, which you could find on page 5 of your sourcebook. He comments as follows. He has a few questions about this mitzvah. V'tam v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? You see that on top of page 5, which says Ramban on Leviticus. He says, this is an expression by way of overstatement, for a human heart is not able to accept a command to love one's neighbor as oneself. He says, it just doesn't make sense if it's about actually loving the person as much as you love yourself. Now, besides that, there's a separate question of how could the Torah command us on feelings, which is not quite what the Ramban is getting at, but it's another question you could raise on this. So you see the Ramban himself is recognizing that this is not about the emotion of love. This is about how we act towards people.
Well, one can make the same argument to care about your neighbor's money is equally unlikely or untenable as it is to care about your own pocket.
I always think of the phrase that my mom said, like, I don't have to, like, I love you. I don't have to like you, but right. I love you.
Right. And this is exactly what the Torah is doing. The Torah is saying, you're right. You may really not care about their money as much as you do about your money, but you have to act as if you do.
Mm-hmm. What does it really mean to have compassion for your neighbor?
Don't move your fence line, because then you are diminishing their property value. Right? It's not very romantic or exciting. It's very simple. Don't cheat them. No.
But it's also...
That's a separate mistake.
It's not, like it's... Like prompting communication between fence lines. Like you have to talk to the other person.
Right? That's true.
Like if you don't talk, you're not gonna get anywhere.
So like this is right. This is talking and acting towards other people as you would act towards someone who you actually love. Right? Okay. That's a first important point. We're gonna come back to this a little bit later. And he goes on to say, now we're back on page 1. V'amru zichron l'vracha. Now he gives another interpretation. De'alach sinei l'chavrach lo tavid. What is hateful to you, don't do to somebody else. This is the negative formulation of the golden rule. The golden rule is love your neighbor as yourself. The negative formulation is don't do to someone what you wouldn't want them to do to you. Like you don't want them to move your fence line. You don't want them to, you know, slip a $5 bill out of your wallet, so don't do it to them. Now, these are things, of course, which are all encompassed in other commandments. Okay, so let's just stop there for a second. Again, so we're seeing here that what we're learning is that this. Now, by the way, it's important to note that this Gemara that's quoted here by the author of Sefer Achinuch is on Shabbat, page 31a, right, where it says, what is hateful to you, don't do to someone else. That Talmudic passage is not specifically commenting on our mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, but our author connects them. Right? He says that's what it's about. Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want to done to you. You don't really have to love them, but you have to act as if one does.
Well, you need to restrain from acting. Don't do.
Right. So that's interesting. Correct. Don't negatively impact. They have to restrain from
hurting them. Respect their boundaries, in a sense.
Correct. It is a negative formulation. Hmm. Right. And that also could be because of your question, which is, it's really hard to actively treat someone the way you would be treated. It's much easier to command and to realistically expect that at the very least you're not going to harm someone. You're not going to financially harm them. Mm-hmm. Right? Great.
I mean, it's easy to retaliate if you don't hurt you. Do onto others as you did on...
Well, by the way, that's the beginning of the
verse. But it's, you know, it's...
The beginning of this verse is do not take revenge, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very good point. Okay, now he makes another really interesting point here. And he quotes the Sifri, which is a rabbinic midrashic text. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Ze klal gadol batorah, that the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is a great principle of the Torah. That's a cute children's song. Right, but what does that mean? Right, that's a klal gadol b'Torah. One could argue that every mitzvah is a great principle. Right, we have a general idea that all mitzvot are created equal. Right, we don't pick and choose with which mitzvot are better or more important than others. So, what does he mean here? So, again, the Sefer Achinuch offers a really interesting insight. He says this, Kilomar, what does this mean? Shaharbe mitzvot Shabbat Torah tiluyin bikach, that there are many other mitzvot in the Torah that are dependent upon us fulfilling this mitzvah. So for example, Sheha'ohev et chaveiro kinafsho, if someone loves someone like themselves, lo yignov mamono, they won't steal from them. Lo yinaf et ishto, they're not going to steal their wife. Lo yonehu b'mamon, and they are not going to financially distress them. Lo b'dvarim, and they're not going to verbally oppress them. Lo yasi gvulo, and they're not going to move the fence line. They're not going to encroach on their border. Lo yaziklo b'shum thag, and they're not going to hurt them at all. And there are many other mitzvot that are connected. Yadua hadavar l'chol bendach. So really what the Sefer Achinuch is explaining is ze klal gadol b'Torah means that the mitzvah of the ahavta l'recha kamocha is like the bedrock of so many other mitzvot. That if you could muster up recognizing that it's important not to harm someone else, just the way you would not want someone to harm you, then all of these other things immediately come off the table. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to steal. You're not going to move the fence line. You're not going to verbally oppress someone. You're not going to financially oppress someone. It's all fundamentally based on this mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. That's what ze klal gadol. That's what ze klal gadol b'Torah means. So we have so far 2 points. One is that this is an action mitzvah, not a feeling mitzvah, because it's very hard to command us in feelings at all. And it's certainly hard to command that we feel about someone else the same way we feel about ourselves, but we have to act as if we do by not harming them. And the notion of Zeh Klal Gadol b'Torah is teaching us that the Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha sort of undergirds many other, if not all, maybe you could argue, the mitzvot ben Adam l'chaveru, the interpersonal mitzvot.
And you do not covet as a feeling commandment, though.
There's a, right. There are some, right? The belief in God is a feeling commandment. According to some, that's a debate whether that's actually the commandment, but you're right, yeah. But it feels to me like the commentaries try to get out of as many of those as possible and turn them into actions. We have to act as if, even if we don't really feel that way.
I mean, any of the commandments you can say is a feeling.
Well,
without it being.
Well, I don't have to like the poor person, but I have to give them charity, right? Meaning most mitzvot are things we're supposed to do, not things we're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Yet Rabbi Greenberg argues, if I understand the main point correctly, in the holiday book, what is it called?
The Jewish Way.
The Jewish Way, that the entire Jewish calendar is designed to induce feelings.
Right. I think what he's saying is the action mitzvot induce the feelings.
Yes.
Right? But the mitzvah, right, is the action.
Yeah.
Right. So what Rabbi Greenberg is trying to argue, which is that mitzvot are not busy work. Mitzvot are trying to build a personality.
Character.
Right, the character. And so therefore, they turn us and they do affect our emotions. But the commandment. The
action comes first. Na'aseh v'nishma, right?
From like a female standpoint, sometimes the time of the month, like in a weird spiritual way, it does affect the feeling. Like, I don't know. It's not a commandment, but the action of it definitely helps. Like when you can understand, like, oh, I'm feeling this way because of the time. I don't know.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's turn to the Sefer Achinuch explanation for the mitzvah, which is also interesting. Shoresh HaMitzvah. That's number two in this in your packet. It's towards the bottom of page one, Phil. And on the screen, it's right in the middle of the screen. Shoresh HaMitzvah Yadua. The reason, the purpose for this mitzvah is well known. Ki kemo sheyaseh hu b'chaviro, ken yaseh chaviro bo. Shalom ben habriyot. This is really very interesting. That so besides the already stated purpose of the mitzvah, right? That by really working on this notion of loving our fellow, we're going to avoid all of those other sins like coveting and stealing and verbally oppressing. There's another outcome of the mitzvah, and that is the creation of a particular type of society, right? We're going to act towards people in a certain way, and then they will act in a similar way to us, right? As in the way that he acts to his fellow, so will his fellow act to him, and there will be peace among the creatures with him. So the Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha is a society builder. Like you said before, that each mitzvah is a character builder. The Ahavta L'Racha Kamocha, it builds our character, and then hopefully it sort of spreads out and bleeds into the rest of the, you know, into sort of a, I treat you this way, so therefore you treat me this way, and we have a better, more peaceful, and perhaps more just society. So the
opposite happens as well, right? Which is why we're prohibited from living amongst a society of bad.
Right, and the opposite happens. Well, that, right. Without the Hakamoka, then you have stealing, then you have verbal oppression, then you have, you know, financial oppression, then you have people physically harming each other, right? So with the Hakamoka, we personally avoid all of these sins, and we communally are able to enjoy a better society. It's interesting that I came across an essay. So hand out here. Sorry, I don't have a way to share this particular essay on the screen. I forgot to upload it to my computer. But this essay was written by Rabbi Moshe Avigdor Amiel, who was the chief rabbi of Antwerp until he made Aliyah and became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv and Yafo. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book, a number of books. This book is called in Hebrew, with a name in Hebrew, it's called in Hebrew, Hatzedek HaSotziali V'Hatzedek HaMishpati V'HaMusari Shelanu, which is translated into ethics and legality in Jewish law, justice in the Jewish state according to the Torah. He was, again, late chief rabbi of Antwerp, Belgium, and Tel Aviv Yafo. Anyway, so he writes in this essay, he's trying to distinguish between the notion of law and ethics in the general world and law and ethics in the Jewish world. And his main argument is that law and ethics comes from the same, in Judaism, comes from the same source, God, right? Certain things that we would call halakha or mitzvot come from God, and certain things that would fall under sort of ethical category also come from God. But he notes something which I think actually is in direct contradiction to what we just saw in the Sefer Achinuch. So I thought I would share this other conception with you. He notes as follows. Okay, we'll find the bottom of page, of that first page. He says, in contrast to other legal systems based on establishing a just society, or in broader terms, a just world, in Judaism, these functions are relegated to secondary. Right? The Sefer Achinuch just said that the whole purpose of V'ahavta l'rעך כמוך is to build the just society. Rabbi Amiel is saying, that's not necessarily the most important thing. Rabbinic enactments, while the principal legal concepts of absolute justice are d'oraita, biblical primary status, all right, a little blurry, the d'oraita legal base rests upon concepts of absolute justice, which take into consideration neither time nor place. Political order is not its main purpose. Rather, its goal is the implementation of divine holiness and ethical perfection. Meaning, for Rav Amiel, the main purpose of this mitzvah and all other mitzvot is to create an ethically perfect person. If it happens to also create a society, great. But the Torah, as he says, does not take into consideration neither time nor place. On the other hand, neither are our concepts of ethical perfection those of hermits and nuns who have no contact with the real world and are only interested in the perfection of the soul. This would be a contradiction of Jewish ethics. So then he walks it back a little bit and says, but of course we are concerned, and we don't want our religion to be a completely private matter, and that people just hide themselves away and worry about affecting themselves. We want to affect everyone else, but it may be just a matter here of where the emphasis is placed. And so for Rav Amiel, the emphasis is on the individual. The emphasis is creating an ethical individual and also society. I thought I would just share that as a bit of a different take.
In other words, you could be completely law-abiding and still be a jerk under the law.
So that is the famous statement of Nachmanides, that he calls that person a naval bereshut haTorah, a scoundrel with the permission of the Torah. Like, you could follow all the rules, but you could be a glutton,
right?
And you could be lazy, and you could be selfish, and you're not really breaking any rules, technically. So, right, you could. So this is a little bit different. Here, Rav Amiel and the Sefer Achinuch are concerned that you could do all these things, but keep them to yourself and not use them as a way to affect
the outside. But on the other hand, you could be extremely pious and never share any of your spirituality or religion with anyone else and just retreat inward.
Right, which he says is we don't want.
We don't want. You can toe both sides of the line.
Right, exactly. Okay. I want to share another really neat thing that I came across. Oh, by the way, let's just look a few. How, let's look on let's, source number three. See how Maimonides, the Rambam, formulates this mitzvah, which is on the bottom of page three of your source book. The Rambam writes as follows. Mitzvah kol adam lehov et kol echad ve'echad miYisrael ki gufo shenemar v'yahavta l'richa kamocha. Again, we have to love everyone as ourselves. So again, how does what are we supposed to do? Listen to the Rambam. This is so interesting. Lefichach tzarich lisaper bishvacho. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of loving other Jews? You tell people how amazing they are. You talk about them. And v'lachos al mamono, which we already saw in the Sefer HaChinuch, you're concerned about their financial well-being. Kasher uchas al mamon atzmo, just as you're concerned with your own money. Meaning, if you know that the stock market's about to tank, you should call your friends. I'm not suggesting insider trading.
Give them a heads up.
Right? Or if you have a good tip. If you have a tip on a stock, right? That's what it means, right? Don't caper for yourself. But I found this so interesting that included in this is the obligation to speak the praises of other people. Hmm. And on the bottom, it says, "V'hamid kabed v'klon chaveiro ein lo chel." And similarly, right? Turn the page. If you gain honor through the degradation of your colleague, meaning you, I think it's called Schadenfreude. Right, you enjoy the suffering of others.
Yeah,
that is a violation, even though no one's going to know about it, really. But that's a violation of this mitzvah, and you have no share in the world to come. That's bad news. Now, it's interesting when the Sefer HaChinuch talks about talking about people. He says when you talk about people, you should talk about them positively. But the Rambam says you're obligated to positively talk about people, which is very different. That's very different. The Sefer HaChinuch says, if you happen to be talking about someone, make sure it's positive. That's a fulfillment of loving your neighbor as yourself. But Maimonides says, actually, you know, every day, you know, you should wake up in the morning and decide which of your fellow co-religionists you're going to speak about today and make it a point to speak about someone in a positive way. I found that to be particularly interesting, that is a fulfillment of V'yata V'chachamocha, especially considering that according to some authorities, you're not supposed to do that because that could invite Lashon Hara. I come over to you and talk about how wonderful Rachel is, and you say, well, I'm not so sure.
Not so much.
Right? That's called Avak Lashon Hara. I think that's what they call it, right? I am creating this situation that invites someone else, right? That was
the says that it means like speak it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can say that yet, but I'm saying because saying good things about the person will help you view them in a positive way. Like a gratitude journal, you know, helps you reframe.
Right.
Yeah. You say something nice about your fellow man, your neighbors, and you're going to be able to see them in a better way.
Okay. All right.
I can mesh the two.
Yeah. Well, because maybe the Rambam has a different view. Maybe that's not in his view of Avak Lashon Hara.
You also don't.
That's on you. If I say something good about someone and you decide to turn it around, that's not my problem. That's your problem.
Yeah. Well, if everyone is doing that, supporting the Rambam, then you have this great society. Everyone is saying something good
about him. It's like this.
I always think of like, I don't know the whole story.
Right.
It is not my privilege to know their life.
Right.
That's God knows their life. That's not Hashem knows their life. That's not my.
Right. Right.
I don't have all the information. So why can I talk bad about someone if I don't have all the information?
That's a very pious attitude. Unfortunately, it's this feels to me like. What's that movie where ultimately he's in the TV show and everything's fake around him?
The Truman Show. Yeah.
This feels to me like everyone's so happy in that. Like he wakes up in the morning, good morning. It's like everyone's just walking down the street saying, you know who I think is just swell.
Right?
That's this guy, and you say, oh, you know who's also swell, and I mean that's I don't know if the Rambam
runs into the glass,
lived in that type of society or not, but it's fascinating.
Even the Chafetz Chaim, I think that's the story you told in Shabbat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't talk. Right. Okay, now, so that's the Rambam. I think it's a beautiful idea that we should make it a point once in a while to speak positively about people. And that's
we use the word swell.
Right.
Even better. Transported to the 1950s.
I used a few weeks ago, I used the phrase to stuff out. Ooh. In one of my... For the kids, sus means suspect.
No, but it also, it's kids too.
Sus, yeah. To suck out of open.
Oh. Right. Yes.
So, also like an old-timey word.
I work in security. I'm thinking like, oh yeah, to suss out like a situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That's what that means to me. Oh, it's not. Oh, that's so. No, I'm not. I'm not that cool. Obviously.
Okay. I want to look at a few other things. The Rambam again in number 7. I'm sorry, it's numbered on the screen, but not in your book. So this is Laws of Mourning, 14:1, and so that is going to be thank you. Says as follows: "B'tzad aseh shel divrayim levaker cholim lachem avelim lotzi hamet lachnis kalal levot ha'orchim." We're commanded to visit the sick, comfort the mourners, prepare funeral, prepare a bride, accompany guests, attend to all the needs. And what is all of this about? All this about, he says, "Afal pi shechol mitzvot elu midivrayhem." Even though this whole list that the Rambam just gave us are rabbinic mitzvot, nonetheless, hari hein bichlal v'ahavta l'reacha kamoch. They all fall within the commandment, the biblical commandment of love your neighbor as yourself. So we see here also from the Rambam, this is a action mitzvah. Right? The Rambam never says you actually have to love someone. You have to like them, you have to love them, but you have to pay a shiva call. You have to make sure they have a funeral. You have to, you know, dance at their wedding. You have to, you know, help them if they're hungry, right? You have to speak well about them. These are all things that we're obligated to do, having nothing to do with how we actually feel about anyone. Now, this is not the only approach. There are other approaches where we're told that it is about cultivating feelings about people, but like we saw, the Ramban and the Rambam don't see it that way. For them, it is these are action mitzvot, and either they're positive actions, or at least according to the Sefer Achinuch, it's about not harming anyone.
Really, are opposite ends of the spectrum. Right?
They're both related to action, when inaction versus action. Neither of them are related to feeling, so they're opposite ends of the action spectrum. Yeah, that's true. And it could be that the Sefer Achinuch felt it was just too much to ask to have people actively behave towards people the way that they would do that towards themselves, but at the very least, do no harm, like we said earlier. But you're right. They are at opposite ends of the spectrum. I want to share just a few other things. I forgot to put this on the source sheet, but I found this comment really, really interesting. That according to Sefer Achinuch, right, the baseline for this mitzvah is not harming someone. All right, don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. So in one of the footnotes of the book of the version of the Sefer Achinuch that I'm using, he notes a couple of authorities that say as follows: that if a person acted in a certain way that theoretically could have harmed someone, but by luck or coincidence, it did not harm them, that is still a violation of the Ahavta or the Hakamocha. So an example they give is, if I dig a big hole in my sidewalk, and by luck, no one falls in and breaks their leg, I'm still guilty of lack of fulfillment of that mitzvah, because at the end of the day, I was negligent. I did something that could have harmed someone, which is a direct contradiction to what the Sefer HaChinuch says. It just happens to be that the person, that no one walked by, or they saw it, or they fell in but didn't get hurt. But at the end of the day, I acted in a way which is indicated that I don't care about other people. And so that acting in a way that indicates I don't care about them, even though nothing happens to them, it's like if one is speeding through a pedestrian area and you don't hit someone with your car, that's good. But you've also violated the Hafra HaKamocha, because you happen to just gotten lucky that you didn't, hit someone. You can come up with a lot of other examples. I thought that was like a really high bar.
Yes, it is.
But I liked it.
That's like a weird thing. Like, you have a good intention, but you end up like you end up doing something that's like kind of offensive. Or,
well, because that's Judaism isn't about intentions, is it?
Right.
It's about intentions, kind of.
No, you did something. You dug a hole in the sidewalk. And you didn't cover it up. You didn't, say there, right. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I need to fix the pipe on my side. So I have to dig a hole. Okay. But you also have to.
You intentionally didn't put barricades around it or put any like hazard signs.
Yeah, then it's a shogeg category, I guess. But yeah.
And of course, the US.
But if you didn't like turn others to a pothole, show or whatever, like damage, it can be. Yeah.
And there's no.
Right. So in halacha, unless someone actually gets hurt, there wouldn't be damages. But on your mitzvah scorecard,
you're still.
It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on you.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was really powerful. Okay. Two other things.
No, my Hebrew teacher does not do that.
Source on page number 7 and source number 9 on the screen. This is from Pirkei Avot. Amar Lahem, Tzu uru'u ezo hi derech yishara sheyidbak baha adam. Right? Rabbi Yochanan would say to his students, right, go observe what is the right way to behave. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ayin tova. Excuse the... letters at the end should not be there. Ayin tova. So what is an ayin tova? What is a good eye? So the Maharal, in his comments on Pirkei Avot, says that ayin tova is wanting the same good that you want for yourself for other people. And feeling good about the successes of other people, the way you would feel good about your own successes, which to me feels a lot like v'ahavta kamocha, right? Mm-hmm. Like, except the way the Sefer HaChinuch formulates it is supposed to be as concerned about their financial well-being. Here, the Maharal is saying, if someone is celebrating a simcha, mm-hmm. right, someone is whatever it is, I should feel happy for them. Right? Even though I'm not rejoicing, and I would argue, even though I want that particular reason to celebrate, I don't have that reason to celebrate, I have to find a way to be joyous for them. To me, that's another expression. I just felt that it connected. Mm-hmm. To the Sefer HaChinuch, I have to be concerned for their money.
It's literally the opposite of Schadenfreude.
Right.
And we don't have word for that, I suspect, right? None
of anti Schadenfreude. Right, we can look that up. We have to look up on thesaurus.com and Anyone listening on screen know the opposite for Schadenfreude, if I'm pronouncing it right?
I don't think it exists in this day and age.
The fact that we typically written a word is an indication of how rare it is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to
Thesaurus. Additional happiness.
All right, here we go. Thesaurus.com.
You're determined.
Oh, he's not. It's happening.
Here we go.
Oh, maybe not.
You good luck with that.
Anyone know how to spell it? Miriam, Ben, you guys have something to offer?
Yeah, she's shy. She's been saying it the whole time.
I might be right.
She thinks it's like Freudenfreude or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, how do I spell? How do I spell the word?
Here,
A D E N
F R E
F R E
U D E
U D E. All right, here we go. S C H E D E N F R
A D E N
A D. Okay, hold on. I got zero. Okay, spell it again. S C H A D E N S C H A D E N.
I'm going to Google. Honestly,
R E U T E.
Type it into thesaurus.
Okay.
Just Google.
Satisfaction or pleasure felt at someone else's misfortune. I got that. But I'm looking for
the antonym. You don't want the synonym, you want the antonym.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Go down.
Well, it's not coming up on thesaurus, it's only coming up on the dictionary.
It is Freudenfreude, or however you pronounce it.
Freudenfreude.
Yeah. And instead of Schadenfreude, it's the.
I'm making. Believe that there. I'm going to put a word in a Devar Torah between now and.
like being happy for someone else. Like, oh, Freudenfreude. That sounds about right.
Okay. When I use the word, I want everyone here to stand up and applaud in the middle of a sermon. Okay. All right. So that's the Pirkei Avot. Then here's one other really interesting comment, which is on your sheet, by Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who is a survivor of the Shoah. And then after the Shoah, he ended up in Switzerland, and he had a small yeshiva in Switzerland, and he taught and answered many questions, became a very important posek, answering halachic questions in Switzerland. And he writes he has a collection of a very large collection of non-halachic essays, and an essay related to V'ahavtah Hakamocha on page 7. He says as follows. I'm sorry, the editor says, the editor published a written version of the talk, but now is saying in the oral version of the talk, Rabbi Weinberg said the following. Bidrasha ba'al peh, hevi rayon nosaf, lama amar Hillel et hadivarim b'derech hashlila. He's trying to explain why Hillel, instead of saying to the prospective convert, v'ahavtah le'racha kamocha, love your neighbor yourself, he made it in the negative and said, don't do to someone else what you don't want done to you. Why not just say it positively? Right, v'ahavta l'racha kamocha hu ideal nichsaf shekashe li simo b'mitziyot. This notion of people living according to this myth of loving people as yourself is very hard for people to actually achieve. V'sakana shel chevra ha'ma'amida la'atzma ideal shekima'at lo nitan la'hasaga hi b'tzirat pe'er ben ha'ideala. Ha'idealim bahem hi do gelet leben hachayim halacha lamasa. If you set up a standard which is impossible to reach, there's going to be a huge gap between the ideal and the way that people are living. V'adavar huchach le'ein sipur pamim b'historia shel adatot v'atarbiot. And Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, living as a Holocaust survivor, I think has particular insight. He says, the history is full of societies that claimed they had high ideals, but were terrible, like the Nazis, right? Milo Natan et hanuscha ketzad lahafoch et haideal shel v'yahavta l'recha kamocha l'torat chayim. So Hillel, by making into a negative, he gave the language to turn the ideal of love your neighbor as yourself into something actually attainable in life, which is don't harm anybody, right? And that's what the Sefer HaChinuch said. If you don't harm people, then that's going to create the society. But if you first start off with this impossible goal of loving everyone as yourself, since it's impossible and there's nothing else guiding the society, then the society just degenerates. So give the society something to be able to actually sink their teeth into, like not hurting anybody, and then that will develop the society. Maybe this is what Hillel meant also. Right? What did the Gentiles say? Teach me the Torah while standing on one foot. So what does that mean? Maybe. I just want the principles without the details. Without how to actually perform the mitzvot. Okay, if you want something without details of what to do, I'm going to tell you, don't harm. You don't have to do anything, but at the very least, don't harm anyone. The whole purpose of this principle is to turn an ideal into an actual livable principle, and that's why Hillel flipped it around. So I thought that also was a really neat insight. Just also in general, how we think about life and how we think about community. We may have a lot of high ideals, but in the end, we need to boil them down to things that people can actually do. Again, because left without direction, according to Rabbi Weinberg, then society may have a tendency to unravel, which is what Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg witnessed in Germany before he managed to escape. So, yeah.
I actually really like that. Being like teaching someone like on one foot. Like I wanted, reason I'm doing a Orthodox conversion is like I wanted to learn on both feet. I don't know. That just kind of resonated with me.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. It's good.
Really teach our children under that kind of thought process. I'm thinking about I have a grandchildren, and most of the discussions, to the extent that they understand, are proactive rather than don't do. I mean, it's a mixture of both. Don't hit your brother.
That's interesting. Right.
It'd be a lonely world if it was just the negative. Don't do.
I mean, right. Correct. So I don't think it's just the negative. I agree. I think this mitzvah for the Sefer HaChinuch and for maybe Hillel is, but there are other mitzvot.
Sure,
and
it's the starting point.
But according to the Rambam and the Ramban, this mitzvah is not negative. This is visit the sick,
right.
Hug your brother, right? Bury the dead, go to a wedding, give tzedakah, right? Those are positive things. So the Rambam's formulation is more in line with what you're suggesting, and the Sefer HaChinuch and Hillel's formulation is different. But again, Hillel, as Rabbi Weinberg noted, that's just a starting point. Start with something that could help society develop, and then naturally, what will come are the positive things. But it's not. But I think that's also. I think that misses the point. The point is v'yahavta hakamocha. What do I do with that? It's so hard to define that I let it go away and then I have no guiding principle. But if I could define the ahavta v'acha kamocha as action, then I could avoid that problem. But many people see it as just a feeling.
Yeah.
And if you're going to create a society based on feelings, that's very hard to sink your teeth into. It's going to disappear and then things will go south.
I just think that the positive parts of it are, like you're saying, there's so many and so many possibilities, but the negative parts of it are much like clearer and me would be like more important. Like I think about it for me, like I'm a teacher. So I'm like, there's so many ways to be a good teacher, but really important is to like not be a bad teacher. Meaning like really important is to like make sure that none of your students leave feeling bad about themselves. Like don't make your students feel bad. Now you can do lots of things to be a good teacher, but like the real core to me is like, I don't want to be a teacher where someone remembers me and says, oh my gosh, that teacher like was so
mean,
a bully, like, never, that's why I hate the subject now. Like, and those are like negative things that.
And you always remember those teachers.
Correct, yes.
Right.
That's why.
So at the end of the day, right, it's not so, the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'cha kamocha, which we always translate as love your neighbor as yourself, is not so simple. That's not about love at all, actually. Let me say it differently. The Torah here is redefining love. Right? Love, in the Torah's perspective, at least sometimes, is not an emotion. It's a way we act. It's a way we live. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch elsewhere says that our actions affect our emotions. So it's possible that if we act in certain ways, in giving ways towards people, even though we may not love them, we may come to love them because our actions are going to affect our emotions. He says this a few places explicitly, and others say this regarding the word ahava. This is a famous statement by Eliyahu Dessler. The word ahava is built, within it is the word hav, which means to give. So he notes that most people think that the more you get, the more you love. And he says, no, the more you have, the more you give, that leads to ahava. The more you give, the more you love. So that could also be what's going on here. The more I bury someone's dead, go to their wedding, make sure they have food on the table, I will then come to love them. I'm acting like I love them, even though I don't. That will create the feeling as well. But at the end of the day, I think it's fair to say the Torah is much less concerned about feelings. It would rather me not particularly like that poor person, but give them food than really love them and watch them starve. Right? So, okay. So not such a simple mitzvah, seeing that the word love may mean something different in different contexts in the Torah. And I look forward to Freudian-Freuding all of you and deriving joy, deriving joy from all of your happiness. All right. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining on Zoom. Anyone on Zoom have any comments or statements or questions before we end the meeting?
No, just thanks a lot. Super, super interesting stuff. Just really awesome to have it on. Thank you.
And next, but you did miss the fresh baked pastries. I'm just saying. So
they're really good.
If you come over, we'll give you a doggy bag. If you want to stop over sometime, come by on Shabbos. We'll give you a to go bag.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Good night. All right. Good night.